Ward Number 6 by Anton Chekhov. Translated by Constance Garnett. Chapter 1. In the hospital yard there stands a small lodge, surrounded by a perfect forest of burdocks, nettles, and wild hemp. Its roof is rusty, the chimney is tumbling down, the steps at the front door are rotting away and overgrown with grass, and there are only traces left of the stucco. The front of the lodge faces the hospital. At the back it looks out into the open country, from which it is separated by the grey hospital fence with nails on it. These nails, with their points upwards, and the fence, and the lodge itself, have that peculiar, desolate, God-forsaken look which is only found in our hospital and prison buildings. If you are not afraid of being stung by the nettles, come by the narrow footpath that leads to the lodge, and let us see what is going on inside. Opening the first door, we walk into the entry. Here along the walls and by the stove, every sort of hospital rubbish lies littered about. Mattresses, old tattered dressing gowns, trousers, blue striped shirts, boots and shoes no good for anything. All these remnants are piled up in heaps, mixed up and crumpled, moldering and giving out a sickly smell. The porter, Nikita, an old soldier wearing rusty good conduct stripes, is always lying on the litter with a pipe between his teeth. He has a grim, surly, battered-looking face, overhanging eyebrows which give him the expression of a sheepdog of the steppes, and a red nose. He is short and looks thin and scraggy, but he is of imposing deportment, and his fists are vigorous. He belongs to the class of simple-hearted, practical, and dull-witted people, prompt in carrying out orders, who like discipline better than anything in the world, and so are convinced that it is their duty to beat people. He showers blows on the face, on the chest, on the back, on whatever comes first, and is convinced that there would be no order in the place if he did not. Next you come into a big spacious room which fills up the whole lodge except for the entry. Here the walls are painted a dirty blue. The ceiling is as sooty as in a hut without a chimney. It is evident that in the winter the stove smokes and the room is full of fumes. The windows are disfigured by iron gratings on the inside. The wooden floor is gray and full of splinters. There is a stench of sour cabbage, of smoldering wicks, of bugs, and of ammonia. And for the first minute, this stench gives you the impression of having walked into a menagerie. There are bedsteads screwed to the floor. Men in blue hospital dressing gowns, and wearing nightcaps in the old style, are sitting and lying on them. These are the lunatics. There are five of them in all here. Only one is of the upper class, the rest are all artisans. The one nearest the door, a tall, lean workman, with shining red whiskers and tear-stained eyes, sits with his head propped on his hand, staring at the same point. Day and night he grieves, shaking his head, sighing and smiling bitterly. He takes a part in conversation and usually makes no answer to questions. He eats and drinks mechanically when food is offered him. From his agonizing, throbbing cough, his thinness, and the flush on his cheeks, one may judge that he is in the first stage of consumption. Next to him is a little, alert, very lively old man, with a pointed beard and curly black hair like a negro's. By day he walks up and down the ward from window to window, or sits on his bed cross-legged like a Turk, and, ceaselessly as a bullfinch whistles, softly sings and titters. He shows his childish gaiety and lively character at night also when he gets up to say his prayers, that is to beat himself on the chest with his fists and to scratch with his fingers at the door. This is the Jew Moiseika, an imbecile, who went crazy 20 years ago when his hat factory was burnt down. And of all the inhabitants of Ward Number 6, he is the only one who is allowed to go out of the lodge and even out of the yard into the street. He has enjoyed this privilege for years, probably because he is an old inhabitant of the hospital, a quiet, harmless imbecile, the buffoon of the town, where people are used to seeing him surrounded by boys and dogs. In his wretched gown, in his absurd nightcap, and in slippers, sometimes with bare legs and even without trousers, he walks about the streets, stopping at the gates and little shops and begging for a copper. In one place they will give him some kvass, in another some bread, in another a copper, so that he generally goes back to the ward feeling rich and well-fed.